du hörst einen Podcast von Rabe.
We are here with Stephen O'Malley and Greg Anderson just before the concert in the Rheintalhalle. I welcome you to Bern.
How are you doing? Hello, thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here. The general definition of music is melody and rhythm, and you have found a way to strip away those two attributes, and all that remains are vibrations. How did you conceive of such a sound?
I don't know. How do we conceive of such a sound? I often get contrary with that there's no rhythm or melody in the music, first of all.
Yeah.
Vibration is rhythm. You know, it's waveforms moving at different rates and stuff. The sound of sun, I think we conceived of playing music together, but where it is now is it's probably 30 years of playing music together has evolved into where it is now. I don't know if it was so like strategically designed or premeditated, you know. It's part of a long, long process of making a lot of sound and a lot of noise together.
Yeah, I think there's definitely melody and rhythm in what we're doing as well. It's just maybe it's not apparent until you listen, you know, dive in and listen to it, you know. But it's there's elements of that there. There's elements of structure as well to what we're doing.
It's more of a physical experience than a listening experience, in my opinion. I've been to your shows before, and it's like a sonic massage, and I'm just there, and I'm stunned by what's coming at me.
I'm always impressed by the audience, and I think reactions are pretty. Well, they're similar and different in different cities, different countries and stuff. But one thing that seems to be consistent is from the audience, which is super impressive and really like an honor. People seem to be extremely focused on listening and being in the sound. They're like, there's no talking. They're not like having a beer, partying in the back or like, there's
the level of focus is pretty admirable, and I have a lot of respect for that, because it does take it can be a commitment to subject yourself to that volume and atmosphere that happened, that is our show, you know. So I'm always impressed and grateful.
Today I was thinking about an analogy. What I came up with is it's like the sonic equivalent of staring at a Mark Rothko painting. For me, as a member of the audience at one of your concerts, it's like being present at the birth of the universe. it's like this primal moment. But how do you experience your music?
I think it's super interesting how people experience the music and the experience, what their experiences are, because there's some, like I was getting at before, there's some similarities, it seems. People love to talk about what their sensations are to them with the music, and it's very, very much their own. It's interesting. For me, I don't know if it really matters. I mean, we're doing it. I always feel like I'm in it, going through it, or just being inside of it, or being part of that sound being activated in the space, and that's enough. That's a huge thing. Of course, the vibration is pretty overwhelming, but it certainly. Speaking for me personally, it certainly excites my imagination, being inside that sound for 90 minutes or 2 hours.
it feels like invisible architecture is just this thing, and you're there in it. How integral are the Sun amps to your sound? Would it be possible to make your music without this particular type of amps?
It'd be quite different. It's a huge part. I often joke that it's the third member or the fourth member on stage of the band. It's an extremely important part of our sound, in the obviously the tone of the sound. You know, the tone is it's the massive part. Who knows what it would be if it would be without the amps, without the Sun amps, you know. It'd be a different kind of amp. Maybe it wouldn't have created the inspiration to continue on like we have. You know?
I think it's like also kind of like it's the instrumentation. The amplifiers are the instrumentation.
Yeah.
If there's an ensemble, there's, I don't know, 16 voices on stage. And each of those is one of the speaker cabinets, or maybe each speaker is a different part of the instrumentation of the ensemble that creates the overall sound too. So if you change those, of course, if you change the instrument in a string quartet to a trumpet, you change the violin to a trumpet, it's going to be a different timbre, of course. But I think the amps are as much the instrumentation as the guitar, maybe even more.
Generally, rock shows are quite exciting and exhilarating, but despite the volume, your music is more contemplative. During and after a show, do you feel that the high on stage, or do you feel deeply relaxed and kind of emptied of all emotion?
Both.
Yeah, both, sure. It can be definitely a high, for sure. Exhilarating. And then relaxing, you know, after the show. It's so nice to come down. Sometimes it's like the adrenaline and the exhilaration carries over after the show. It's like, I feel really good, full of power. Yeah.
Sometimes when I'm playing music with other music I play, not Sun, I feel like I have to land after performance because of all of the energy and the focus of the audience. But with Sun, I feel like sometimes I have to like solidify.
I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. The last show I saw was a couple of years ago in Zurich, and I just walked away silent. I didn't have the need to speak to anyone, nothing. I just felt connected to everything. I suffer from tinnitus and a partial loss of hearing. I'm just wondering how your ears cope with the extreme volume during the shows.
I'm surprised my hearing hasn't been damaged more than it has over the years. But part of that is because I really feel like we take care of the equipment so it's working properly. And although it's very, very loud or a high volume, it's everything's in phase. All the harmonics from the tubes are working properly because the amps are tuned well. It's analog as well, so it's even order harmonics. Also, wearing hearing protection is necessary, which doesn't take so much away like it does. When I'm listening to other music, sometimes it's a drag to wear earplugs live, but with Sun, you're listening. My experience is a full body listen almost, and it's more complex than just the ear. Also, I guess I'm pretty lucky. I know some musicians who have never wore earplugs and they play super loud, and they always explain that their hearing is fine. And maybe it is. I don't know how that would work. It seems like dangerous.
Yeah. I'm also surprised that I can still hear because of what we're subjected to. But I've definitely, it's definitely a little bit of loss for sure. To kind of look as a sacrifice to what we're doing, you know.
Yeah, I spoke to Matt Batty from Pigs the other day, and he likes to perform barefoot because he likes to feel the vibrations of the music through his feet from the stage. One of the most amazing collaborations in music I know of is you with Scott Walker. That album is fantastic. What was that project like? How did that collaboration happen?
There's a lot of stories with it. Yeah, we were pretty lucky to be able to do that. That's just a one sentence takeaway. Took a long time to put together, but then suddenly it happened very quickly, and it felt like to me that it was really right at that time that we crossed paths and got to work together artistically, and then it was over. You know, and then he passed away a few years later, and it's really obvious to me how special that was to have that opportunity and be able to work with him. I did a long conversation with Peter Walsh, Scott's co-producer, who produced that record with him and recorded us for that record. And also he worked on all of Scott's records, going back to Climate of the Hunter, all the experimental records.
Yeah.
We did a long conversation, which is a podcast coming out on 4AD's channel soon, about that session and about Scott. And there's some really interesting things Pete talks about other parts of the session that we weren't involved with and stuff. So maybe that's like 90-minute long thing. So we can kind of put it in perspective, I guess.
It's just that the way from the sun ain't gonna shine anymore to south is about as far as it gets. It's just two opposite poles, and still it is somehow connected. I think it's great that people can do that.
Well, yeah, I mean, making music for 50 years alone, it's like a 50-year span in that, right? That song to Herod.
Very often when I listen to music, I wonder how it was written or how it was composed. How can I imagine your creative process? Do you jam, or do you have certain chord progressions just following you around, and then you get together and try it out? How do you work?
A lot of this is based off of playing together for over like 26 years now. And then even before then, before the band, playing together in other groups and played so long together, there's kind of a language or a shorthand chemistry that we have that is it's inherent, you know. Sometimes a lot of the writing happens in the studio, in the moment, but sometimes there's also each of us will maybe have some ideas or some concepts that we would like to try to bring into it, but then it's worked out and fleshed out in the studio. There's not a ton of rehearsals that happen. It's more in the moment. A lot of times we take the opportunity of the live performance during the sound check to try different things, try different ideas.
Your songs are often really, really long. How do you determine when is the right moment to stop? Does it just naturally occur, or do you get some kind of arrangement?
Yeah, there's definitely arrangements. But even those arrangements are based off of the right feeling. I think it feels like it's the moment. So even if it's arranged structurally in a certain way with a certain number of repetitions of different frames or riffs or whatnot, I feel like getting the exact right feeling of duration is something that is really satisfying with Sun's music. And it seems like that can be like 20, 30 minutes, you know. For a piece, but not always. I mean, we've done like 10-minute pieces too.
in your time off, do you listen to music at all, or is really fast music or something that is the opposite of what you do on stage?
Absolutely. Yeah, I listen to music constantly. That's kind of one of the things that to me is the driving force of what we're, of this group and our friendship, is the mutual love and obsession with music of all kinds. That's what, how we met, really, was through that, like mutual being really into music and into different artists or genres, and it's continued to be something that would, that connects us, as discovering music, listening to music, sharing music.
Also, our crew, like when we're on tour, I was just noticing this today. We're all working in music and stuff, but everyone's talking about music all the time, what they're into, what they're listening to, asking questions and stuff. And like, it's really fun to share all that and to discover stuff all the time, you know?
Yeah.
I have like 4 or 5 albums just from the last 3 days that I've put in my Apple Music or whatever that someone's been mentioned, you know, I've never heard before. And probably have another 10 before the tour is over. It's great.
So I think the joy of discovery is really strong for us.
Yeah.
You know, Chase always being excited about, or open to listening to music in hopes of discovering something that is like, that you connect with, you know.
Do you have any current recommendations?
Yeah, I have one. We played with this group in Warsaw, this duo in Warsaw that was super cool. They're the Ukrainian folks.
Hainali and Andriana Yaroslavo Senko.
And they made this record based on the music of the composer, the medieval composer Hildegard van Bingen. She was a nun. She was really a polymath. One of the things she was a composer. She composed a lot of vocal music, a lot of music in mean tone, a lot of pretty sophisticated stuff. And I, from what I understand, I haven't analyzed this stuff too much, but I'm a fan of von Bingen also, pretty well-known medieval composer. But apparently Hainali and Andriana are basing their compositions on some of her stuff too. But it's vocal and synthesis, like modular synth. So that's different and interesting. But they supported us in Warsaw. It was really cool, really powerful and like different. It was exciting.
You are the Lord, aren't you?
Mm. Depends on what the question is.
I really like your Bernard Herrmann tribute.
Oh, cool.
I listen to the album quite often, and it's a combination that I'd never thought of. Is there more work along these lines coming along?
Possibly, yeah. I'm always kind of working on something, you know, at least the last couple of years for sure. So it won't be more of that, but it'll be something else that's in a different, you know, something on a different path, but has some similarities, you know. It's very vague, but that was just a fun thing. Bernard Herrmann, somebody who had been really like loved his work and had been somewhat of an influence on my playing for Sun. I went through a deep dive kind of during COVID of his massive catalog. There's a lot of it I wasn't aware of, and I just got really deep. And so I thought it'd be cool to like try to do some, I did a few interpretations. Vertigo's always been my favorite.
Okay.
And so I did a few things at home with some interpretations of Vertigo, and then I kind of just went, I found some other stuff that I would really like to his, like, I guess I had kind of forgotten or wasn't aware that he did Cape Fear as well, the original Cape Fear movie film. I think what he wrote for that is incredible. Yeah. So just all these different things, you know, and I kind of picked some of my favorites and then did my interpretations of those, and I've had this collection of interpretations of his pieces and wanted to present it as a album.
I just thought it was really surprising, and then somehow it really works. this eerie music and then this ominous drone above it. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, the atmosphere he creates in his pieces is just—it's intoxicating, really. You know, to me. And it's funny because I have kids, and my youngest, he's obsessed now with, well, he's really into the Hitchcock films, and he loves the music, the score for soundtracks for these films as well. Like it's funny because I didn't choose anything from North by Northwest for the album that Bernard Herrmann did. I like it, but one of my favorites of Bernard Herrmann's, but now my son and I have been watching this movie together, and I'm like, man, actually, this music is incredible. I forgot something on my album that I should have chosen. You know, there's some really, really cool stuff on that as well. So it's cool that now, like, my son is also really into this music. But now we watched Vertigo for the first time together a month ago, and he flipped out on that, and he loves the music as well.
Are you working on any solo projects?
I made a recording for a project for the GRM in Paris, the Group Research Musicale. They have these festivals a few times a year in the Maison de Radio France, where they set up their speaker array called Acousmonium. It's like 80 channels of different hi-fi and PA speakers set up on a stage, like an orchestra, actually, and a surround ring, and they commission people to make music to diffuse, like, tape music. It comes from the musique concrète, and I was commissioned to make a piece. So I worked on that over like a year and a half, and we did the performance of that last year. And they have a series where they released some of the commissions on LP, and they asked me if I wanted to release it. And it's really an honor because they've released all these incredible composers that I really love, like Xenakis or Pierre Henry or Parmigiani, and many, many others. So to be part of that legacy with the record is really, with some of my compositions, really an honor. But you have to take the pieces are designed to be played through this multi-channel setup. And technically, it's got to be composed that way. But then to turn it into a stereo piece is a real challenge. But I think we got there. And, you know, it's a document of the multi-channel piece. But, of course, it can't be a perfect reflection of it. It's like a stereo version, but...
Are there any similarities to Atmos with that?
Well, Atmos is the... probably the commercial product version of that that's current.
Okay.
But this
okay.
this stuff has been, this goes back to the 60s and 50s even, this kind of like approach, this multi-channel tape stuff. And Atmos is it's a relative of it, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's like the mm-hmm. youngest, most popular relative, most commercial relative, because it's Dolby and it's connected with cinema and also with Apple, obviously,
right.
with
yeah.
music
yeah.
now. So it's similar.
Commercialized by the Americans.
Yeah. I mean, but it's great because this kind of multi-channel...
The concept has similarities.
I like both. I like that Atmos can be accessed by people on their headphones and not just in a concert hall with this, you know, unique setup or big expensive sort of projection system. But also, the thing I like about the multi-channel stuff, because I've worked with theater a lot too, also using multi-channel audio and performance settings, but I like it because it's just like, it's more like being in a live concert. Like when you're listening mm-hmm. to an Atmos system in a room, I've only checked out Atmos a few times in a room. But I think it's cool because something's over here, and there's a bass player here, and the singer's like feels like it's there, and then something's kind of like echoing behind you. And I mean, you could do that with stereo too, with a good mix, obviously. But
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
it's immersive in a good way. Of course, there's a whole like set of opinions from the world of these European institutions like GRM and EarCam that have very strong opinions about Atmos for different reasons.
Negative.
Well, concept and sort of like commercialization. Stuff like that. But in any case, this record is actually coming out at the end of this month. So that's my thing. That's,
well, I'll have to look out for that.
Yeah.
So in the long run, what does the future hold for Sun? Will there eventually be a supernova?
You're witnessing it tonight, baby.
Oh, yeah. The end of the world.
It's happening. It's eternally happening.
This is the future.
You've made it. Congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, the finish line.
The culmination of human culture and life on Earth as we know it.
Hear and burn. Yeah.
Obviously. Well, yeah. Thank you very much for talking to me. This has been really, really nice.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Yeah.
Du hast einen Podcast von Rabe gehört, im Sender von Bern. Mehr gibt's auf rabe.ch.